Merry Christmas to you all. If you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to open to a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1. I'd like to read this particular story, this beautiful, beautiful story about Jesus, the birth of Jesus foretold. And I want to talk about this name that was to be given to him. There was this message that came from Gabriel, this angel. And it's amazing. The Bible tells us that when Gabriel, one of the archangels of God, when he came and brought messages, he brought serious messages. And one of them was to be that this child that was going to be born, this beautiful child, he was to be given a name, and not just any name, but the name of Jesus. I mean, that is such a powerful name, the name of Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. Can you say that with me? His name shall be called Jesus. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I would like to pick up from verse 26. Luke chapter 1, picking up from verse 26. I'd like to read, if I may, right through to verse 45. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel, very important that God sends angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "But don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David," or his father David, "and he will reign over Israel," or over the house of Jacob, "forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin." And, you know, I just want to just pause there, this question. It wasn't a question of doubt. It wasn't a question like Elizabeth and Zechariah were the parents of John the Baptist. And when the message came to Zechariah that his wife was pregnant even in old age and that he was going to have a son, he doubted that message. She didn't doubt the message. She didn't doubt the message. Her question was, she's a virgin, but just how was this miracle going to happen? And child of God, then we come to these beautiful scriptures in verse 35. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." It's incredible what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person. I've written in my Bible, "The Holy Spirit will perform this great miracle so that Mary will become pregnant without having sexual relations with a man." A virgin birth. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the baby born to you will be holy, and you and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she's already in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's." What's your response to the message of God? Child of God, God himself, even in this coming season, even in the coming year that we're going into 2017, God is a God who speaks to us. He has many ways in which he speaks to us. It might not be a Gabriel, it might not be an angel, but God himself speaks to us. And I pray that our response will be a willing response. It will be an obedient response. It will be a response of faith. I will believe that whatever God has to say to me, that I believe that will be done in accordance with his word to us. And so it goes on to say, Mary, in verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant." So she, "I am the Lord's servant. I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." That's a powerful statement. Whatever God himself has said to us, may it come true. And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried. You can imagine the excitement of these ladies. Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt. That's John the Baptist in the womb still, you know. Elizabeth's child leapt within her. Child of God, I pray that you and I have a spring in our steps. You know, that there's joy in our hearts. I mean, this is a baby that's not even born yet, and this child is just leaping with joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "You are blessed by God above all other women, and your child is blessed." Jesus, you are blessed. I mean, it's incredible. Verse 43, "What an honor this is, that the mother of my Lord should visit me. When you came in and greeted me, my baby jumped for joy the instant I heard your voice. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. I want to repeat that. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You know, even just before I go on, this you know, for me, it's amazing, this person, Mary. I mean, the Bible tells us that she's young, she's poor, and she's a female. I mean, you know, I mean, females are generally looked down upon. They're young, they look down upon poor, they look down upon. But the choices of God to choose a person like her. And I think of what God does in the choice of choosing you and I. Child of God, that the miracle that was going, what was going to take place, words that were spoken. Gabriel was one that stands in the presence of God. And at the word of God, at the command of God, he is sent to say a message. And he says a message and she believes it. She believes it. Whatever he himself has said, may it come to pass. I want to just touch on some of the aspects of what was said in this passage of Scripture that I read about. You know, it says something about this child, Jesus. If I may pick up from verse 30, 31, it says there, "You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him." Look what it says there. You are to name him who? Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, there's a similar statement there. It says, "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Let me just touch on that word, Jesus. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. He is both Lord and he is both our Savior, child of God. I have a statement, you know, that I read somewhere on Twitter. I think it was Nikki Gumbel who said this. "If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us a financer. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. God sent us a Savior." Father, we just thank him that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Savior. It's such a powerful name, you know. And then the Bible says that this name, that name, the Lord saved, it reveals something. It reveals his mission. Jesus came to save people. He came to save his people from their sins. And I had the privilege to share a couple of years ago on that particular message, "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And I just want us to be reminded, child of God, how filthy and how dirty sin is. He saves us, friends, from the pollution of sin. Pollution of sin. Sin is filthy, it's dirty in every single way. God had spoken through the prophet that he was going to come, friends, and he was going to send a Savior, and he was going to come and he was going to wash away your filth and my sin. Friends, he was going to come and wash away our dirt, because God comes, friends, to us. He's going to be our Emmanuel, a God with us, but he's got to deal with the sin issue. He's got to remove sin from us because he wants to put the precious Holy Spirit within us. He saves us from the pollution of sin. He saves us from the punishment of sin. Friends, sin must be punished, friends. Jesus takes the punishment for you and for me. He saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the power of sin, from the presence of sin. He saves us from the prison of sin, from the pleasure of sin, and even from the poison of sin. Thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for which people can call upon to save them. Also, it says this, it says that his name will be called Jesus, and then it says these beautiful things. Firstly, it says he will be great. Jesus is great, child of God. Jesus is great. He's not just an ordinary person. He is the Son of the living God. Everything he does, his salvation is great. His love is great. His mercy is great. Friends, his power is great, friends. Jesus is great. He will be called great. That's what the Bible says. He will be very, very great. Secondly, he'll be called the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of the Most High God, friends. He is going to be declared God, Son of the Most High. Friends, that is an incredible statement. We bless you and we worship you. Thirdly, it says there, the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. It declares there, friends, that Jesus Christ is going to be a king. He is a king, friends. He is great. He is one, friends, who is he's the Most High. He's the Son of the Most High God. But he's a king, child of God. He is a king. Can I challenge you, even in this coming season and in the year that comes, child of God, one of the secrets of the Christian walk in my life is I declare Jesus Christ on a daily basis as the king of my life. A king who rules and a king who reigns within my heart. His kingdom comes, friends, and he comes within us. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. But child of God, it is critical and it's absolutely essential that you and I declare his rule and his reign over every aspect of our Christian walk in life. Our marriages, our parenting, our children, our business, our finances. Child of God, declare him, friends. He's not just only a Savior, he's not just only a Lord, but he's King Jesus. And the Bible also says, friends, that his kingdom will never, ever come to an end. He reigns sovereignly. There's a beautiful scripture I love so much out of Psalm 110, verse 1. And this is prophesied by David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in honor at my right hand until I humble all your enemies as a footstool underneath your feet. I want to tell you something, Jesus, when Jesus rose again, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sits in the place of highest honor. Jesus is king. I love it when we go to the Great Lakes. There's one guy, a man is called Atanas. He's in his 70s. He got born again in the 50s with T.L. Osborne. And every time I see him, he just says, Jesus is king. Jesus is king. When there's situations, friends, when there's he was under surgery and he was going under the knife. He was going to have heart surgery, whatever. He says, Jesus is king. You know, there's situations when it was tough and it was trying times in Rwanda. And he went through those times. Jesus is king. He talks to the guys in Burundi when they're going through some hardships in the DRC Congo. They're going through some hardships. He challenges him. He says, Jesus is king. Some of them struggle that they can't have finances for this and for that. Jesus is king, child of God. And he's the king of your heart. He's the king of my heart. But you and I must declare that. You and I must submit to his lordship. Submit to his rulership. Submit to his reign forever and forever and forever. He rules sovereignly. He rules supremely, and he rules eternity. I love that picture, friends, of the high exalted Christ, friends. He is incredible. He is an amazing God, this God of ours. It says in Psalm 89, verse 3 and 4, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it says, the Lord said, I have made a solemn agreement with David, my chosen servant, and I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants as kings forever. They will sit on your throne from now until eternity. And that was a promise that God had made to David, and it finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, don't we love him so much, child of God? His reign is forever. His reign, his glory, his throne is forever. And then it goes on, it says something that's beautiful. It also mentions that his kingdom will never, ever come to an end. The kingdoms of this world is in Revelation 11, verse 15 says, the kingdoms of this world, they all have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will rule and he will reign forever. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. No one will ever conquer it. Isaiah 9 verse 7 says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be, help me a church, there will be no end, child of God. When we talk about the kingdom, when we talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, we're talking about his government, his lordship, his rule, and his reign. I challenge us, child of God, declare Jesus Christ as a king. He came as a king, he is a king, he will be a king forever and forever, friends, and he sits on the throne, friends. He sits on a throne. He's done something about evil. He's done something about sin. He's done something about our enemies. But he now rules and he leads and he reigns in the midst of our enemies. The time is coming, friends, when ultimately it will all come to an end. When Jesus Christ comes again the second time, when we shall see him, when perfection comes, imperfection will disappear. And then something else it said about him just after in verse 35, the angel replied to Mary and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you. Then it says something about Jesus, something for me that is very precious, and I want to just linger around here. The baby born to you will be holy. The baby born to you will be holy. You know, the baby born to you will be holy. He was born holy. Jesus was conceived of the precious Holy Spirit. Jesus was born without sin, child of God. That entered the world through Adam. So Jesus Christ comes, he's holy. Just as Adam was created sinless, in contrast to Adam, who disobeyed God, Jesus obeyed God and was able to face sin's consequences in our place and make us acceptable to God. I'd like to read this passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 5, verses 14 to 19, and it gives us a little bit of this contrast between Adam and Jesus. It says there, what a contrast between Adam and Christ who was yet to come. This is in Romans chapter 5, picking up from verse 14, the second part of it. Verse 15 says, and what a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his one sin. Adam brought death. Adam brought death to many through his one sin. His one act of disobedience brought sin to everyone. But this other man, Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus also the Son of Man. Through this other man, Jesus Christ brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but we have the free gift of being accepted by God. That's incredible, child of God. Even though we are guilty of many sins, the sins of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful and gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight, and he gives them life. That is incredible. Because one person disobeyed God, many people became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in the sight of God. Oh, Jesus, he is holy. He is holy. Jesus was a genuine human being. He did not inherit a sinful nature and disposition from Adam, as all other human beings do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin. There's holy because of the Holy Spirit, conceived of the Holy Spirit, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, that's, for me, that's explosive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted. Oh, this is moving. But one who has been tempted in every way as we are, just as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, Jesus Christ came to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin at all. Father, we bless you and we worship you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And then as I draw this message to a close, in verse 35 it says there, and he will be called the Son of God. He will be called the Son of God. Jesus will be called the Son of God. May I read these scriptures in John chapter 6, verse 27 to 29. The words of Jesus, he said, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Son of Man, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for this very purpose. And they replied, the people replied to Jesus, what does God want us to do? What does God want us to do? What does God want you and I to do? Here's the answer. Jesus told them, this is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one who he has sent. Believe in the one he has sent. That's incredible. Just believe, child of God. Just believe. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 31. This is after Paul and Silas were released from prison. And the jailer was about to kill himself. And he said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And their reply was, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with your entire household believe, child of God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is simple as that. 41 years ago in an army camp, when the gospel was presented to me, all I did wasn't in a church building, wasn't dressed up for church, friends. I was rough, I was wild. All I said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He changed my heart and He changed my life. I love this portion of 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. It says, and this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Child of God, that's why we call believers, not unbelievers. Believe, child of God. Just believe. Be like that woman, Mary. She just believed. Let it be to me. Let everything that Himself has said, everything that we are in Christ, let it be to us in accordance to what you yourself have said to us. And then lastly, John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. Jesus' disciples saw Him do many other miraculous signs besides these ones recorded in this book. Miraculous signs and wonders and miracles. Child of God, they saw Jesus do many more, but this particular statement, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in Him, you may believe. Have life. Can we bow our heads, please? Can we bow our heads, please? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, what a Savior. What a Lord. What a God. What a King. Oh, Jesus, we worship You. Oh, God, You truly are great, Jesus. You are great. There is nothing that You can't do, Jesus. What a beautiful name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus, sickness and diseases and infirmities will be stripped of people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, even devils and demons and assignments of hell and all their trickery, their cunning arts will be stripped away, banished in the name of Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. Of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless You. We bless You. Firstly, I want to pray this area of salvation firstly. But if you have not believed, if you have not believed, child of God, just believe. 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 Only believe. What must I do? What must I do? Child of God, don't try to straighten your life out. You can't do that. You don't have to. What must I do? Must I read my Bible? Man, no, it didn't say that. Was I go to church? It did not say that. It said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe. Believe. Believe, child of God. Just believe. If you're here this morning, maybe you've been invited here, you've not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray this morning that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. God loved Him so much that He sent Him for you and for me to save you and I from our sins. If that's you, just where you are, can you just raise up your hand and say, Manny, please pray for me. Please pray for me, just where you are. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, lady. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship You. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe. We believe, Lord, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God Almighty, for Your salvation. Thank You, Lord God Almighty, that it is You and You alone who does great and wonderful things in our hearts and lives. I thank You, Lord, for people here today responding to Your love, responding to Your grace, responding to Your mercy. Lord, just to believe, just to trust You. Lord, let it be done to you in accordance with your faith. Like Elizabeth said to Mary, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what He said. He said He'll come to save you, to rescue you, to release you. Father, thank You for that in Jesus' name. I want to also pray as I close, friends. I want you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to declare Jesus Christ as your King, the one who rules and the one who reigns sovereignly. I want you to acknowledge His rule and His reign in our hearts and in our lives, in our circumstances, in our situations. I want you to declare Him. He rules. He reigns. He is King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He reigns. He is sovereign. Of His rule and of His reign, there shall be no end. in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you say that within your heart, within your life, Jesus, you be the Lord. You be my Savior. You be my King. I want you to be my King. Rule and reign, Lord. I don't want to be the King of my life. I don't want to be the one who rules and reigns. I want your rulership. I want your reign in my heart and life. Father, I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Lord Jesus.